The song said, are you ever burdened with a load of care? You know, I suppose probably every one of us could truthfully say that there have been times when we have been burdened with a lot of care, a lot of problems. You know, in spite of all the good things that go on in life, there are problems. Dwight and I were talking coming in tonight. You know, it's been such a beautiful day, hasn't it? And, you know, we were talking about the beautiful foliage and the flowers and all those good things. And Dwight said, but, you know, even in spite of all that, we complain about the pollen. But, you know, if it were not for the pollen, we would not have plants. We would not even have food. You ever thought about that? So I'm not suggesting to you to go out and sniff more, but what I am suggesting to you is to realize that I guess there is a downside and an upside to everything. And, you know, with blessings, there comes responsibility. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about problems. And you may say, well, and I may not hit on your problem tonight, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says we ought to do about our problems. And in the book of Job, the 14th chapter and verse 1, the Bible said that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, that sounds pretty bleak, full of trouble, not just one or two, but all kinds of problems. And I don't know of anyone in the world that does not have problems or has not had problems along the way somewhere. But I want you to really focus with me tonight on five different things that I think that we need to know about problems. You know, many of our problems could really be resolved and absolved if we just looked at it from a biblical standpoint. And many of the problems that we have are self-inflicted. Many of them are not based upon external circumstances or things that have happened, but a lot of them are self-induced. And if we could just always keep that in mind, maybe it's something I'm doing, maybe it's something you're doing, and that we could resolve some of the problems, even the conflicts that we have. You know, sometimes people have problems among themselves, among family members. I heard about two daughters one time who were having a discussion about family resemblance. Well, one said, I look like my mom. And this little girl was 9 years old. But I have my dad's eyes and my dad's lips. And the six-year-old said, and I look just like dad, and I have light hair. Then she turned to her mother and said, Mom, what does dad have to do with us being born anyway? And the older sister jumped right in and said, don't be stupid, Christina. Dad is the one who drove Mom to the hospital. Well, let me tell you, first of all, problems can be resolved by simply acknowledging, number one, the fact that we have problems. Do you know there are a lot of people in the world that would have other people believe that they have no problems? Honestly, we don't like to admit that we have problems. Very few will acknowledge it. We like to have people believe that we lead a life that is totally carefree. But I know that's not true, because if what Job said is true, then we all have problems. And that's the reason Peter said to cast your cares or your problems on the Lord, for he cares for you. We have to get beyond the denial stage in life. Many deny they have health problems. You know, I believe in having a positive attitude about things, and I would very quickly tell you that and suggest that. But at the same time, many of us will deny that we have health problems going on in our life. And it's just kind of a, you know, facetious for us to do that. Many times people will not admit that they have money problems or financial problems. And we just keep on charging without ever thinking about payday, the fact that one of these days we are going to have to account for what we have done. You just go through life putting everything on a charge card, folks. Let me tell you something. One of these days there's going to be a rude awakening, and you're going to have to deal with it. So our first, to me, the first step in really resolving problems is to admit that we have one. And if it is a sin problem, according to the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, then we need to confess that sin. John says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And so many of our problems are sin problems, if we really stop and think about it. But we don't like to admit that we have sin. That's why few walk the aisle of invitation anymore. When the invitation of the Lord is extended, we kind of salve our conscience and, we just kind of glaze over it, and I'm not as bad as someone else. We don't want to admit that we really have a problem and that we don't want anyone else to know about it. Alcoholics Anonymous, or what we traditionally call AA, starts each meeting with a requirement of its members to stand up, state their name, and then admit to being an alcoholic. Now, we're not going to do that in church, obviously. But you know what? We all know that we're sinners. But we're all sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. And we're all people who make mistakes along life's journey. We all do. But we have to take responsibility for our actions. Some things may be your fault, but some things may not be your fault. The prodigal son in the book of Luke, chapter 15, and verse 21, acknowledged his own sin. When he got down in the hog pen and was feeding swine, he finally awakens to reality. And then he says, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to acknowledge to my father that I've sinned against him and I've sinned against heaven. Well, in his journey home, the father looks for him, watches for him, and the young man comes back with a tremendous resolution. He doesn't just say, well, I've sinned, but I'm going to stay here in the hog pen. He doesn't say that I'm famished and the hogs have plenty to eat, but I don't have anything to eat. But he says, I have sinned and I'm going to go back home and I'm going to acknowledge that to my father. And not only will I acknowledge it to my earthly father, I will acknowledge it to my heavenly father. I have sinned against thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do you know there is a biblical principle in that? It is true. It may be true in the physical. But those of us who continue in sin and when we have estranged ourselves from God, you and I could truthfully look into the face of God and say, I am no more worthy to be called your son. Because I've been living in the depths of degradation and immorality. The prodigal son, however, acknowledged his sin. But something I want you to notice here is that the father did not take the blame for the sins of the son. Now, I find that very interesting because, you know, a lot of times in life, parents will make excuse for their children when they do wrong. And, they want to accept the blame sometimes. But the father in this story did not accept blame for the sin of his son. He didn't do it. And he understood the principle found in the book of Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. That the father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, and neither shall the son bear the iniquity of the father. You and I are not accountable for the sins of someone else. We are accountable for our own sin. And David in the book of Psalms chapter 51 said that my sin is ever before me. And he says, I acknowledged my sin, personal pronouns here. I acknowledged my sin. And thou forgavest me the iniquity of my heart. It requires us to be honest. You know, sometimes people are just not honest with each other. They're not. Sometimes people are deceptive. I heard about a couple of guys, one named Curtis and one named Leroy. And anyway, this appeared in the Starkville Daily News up in Kansas. And a farmer had agreed to deliver a mule to two fellows. The next morning, the farmer drove up and said, sorry, fellas, I have some bad news for you. They had paid some money for $100. He said, the mule died last night. And Curtis and Leroy replied, well, then just give us our $100 back. And the farmer said, well, I can't do that. He said, I went and spent it already. I don't have that $100. And they said, okay, then just bring us the dead mule. And the farmer asked, "What in the world are y'all going to do with a dead mule?" And Curtis said, "Well, we're going to raffle him off." The farmer said, "You can't raffle off a dead mule." Leroy said, "We sure can. We don't have to tell anybody he's dead." A couple of weeks later, the farmer ran into Curtis and Leroy in the grocery store and asked, "Hey, what'd you fellas do with that dead mule?" And they said, "Well, we raffled him off just like we said we were going to do." And Leroy said, "Man," said, "we sold 500 tickets for $2 a piece, and we made profits of $998. The farmer said, "My goodness, did anyone complain?" And Curtis said, "Yeah," he said, "the fella that won, he got upset, so we gave him his $2 back." Well, sometimes people are not real honest. People are not real honest in life, and we won't even sometimes be honest with ourselves about our problems and how we need to deal with them. It requires that we evaluate our role and that we communicate with those around us. James 1 verse 19 says that we are to be very, very careful that we listen, be slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to wrath. But then there's another thing, number two, that we need to do. And that is we have to be, not only should we acknowledge the problem, but we ought to be committed, really committed to solving the problem. Sometimes people are not really committed to dealing with the problem and solving the problem. We just acknowledge it. We look at it. It's kind of like people say, "Well, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner." And that's it. Well, you don't have to be a sinner. The Bible says that the solution is that we have to really be committed to dealing with a problem. Sometimes we mask it. You would not put a Band-Aid on a compound fracture. You just would not do that. And if you hurt your arm, you don't go in and amputate your arm because you got a little cut on your arm somewhere. In other words, don't overreact to what is going on. We have to understand what the problem really is. Don't argue with people over the wrong things or over side issues. You ever notice that when people get into an argument with one another? They don't just really talk about maybe the issue that you are discussing, but it escalates into something else. Yeah, but you, you know, and it's just back and forth, bickering with one another. And so an argument continues. Don't take your anger out. Don't vent your anger, but seek a spiritual solution. Many solutions are not really biblical solutions. Many times that happens because we don't pray about it. We're not committed to letting God solve our problems in life. The Bible says that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So be committed to solving that problem, finding the solution biblically. Number three, it requires studying the Word of God. You would not be able to know what to do unless you really studied the Scripture and to understand the principles that are involved. I've heard people say sometimes, "Well, I wouldn't let him do me that way," or "I wouldn't let her do me that way," or "I wouldn't put up with that." You know what? That's non-biblical, folks. The Bible says that you and I are to forbear one with another. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for simply nitpicking and not obeying the real, true meaning of the law. For in Matthew 23, Jesus said that they strain at a gnat, but then they swallow a camel, if you will. Be committed to solving the problem. Again, study the Word of God. If sin is involved, the answer is to not walk away from your sin, but to acknowledge your sin again before God. Very few, again, will acknowledge their sin, either in public or even in private. People like to think that they're flawless. But in the book of Romans 3 and 23, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We must be a disciplined people. And discipline requires faith. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. And so when you understand the principles of the problem that you're undergoing in life, if it is a spiritual problem, then number four, we are to ask for God's forgiveness. Problems don't just go away. They don't. No more than a health problem will just suddenly dissipate and go away. Not going to happen. Ask God for forgiveness. Why should you? It's because Jesus said to do it in Matthew 6 and verse 14, Luke 17 and verse 4. God said to do it. And ask because you're going to need forgiveness in the future. Now, you may not sin the same way. Several years ago, we had a member of the Lord's church when he came up, and he always prayed, Father, help us not to sin in the same way that we have previously sinned. And I suppose that sounds good, but you know what? All of us are weak. And we probably are going to sin in the same way at some time. People will either be guilty of the sins of negligence and not doing what they know they ought to do, or they will be guilty maybe of a sin that they have committed in retrospect somewhere along the way. We should ask for forgiveness. That's the only way it comes. Did you know it? You couldn't come to church enough. You couldn't give enough money to God to receive forgiveness. You couldn't go out and do enough nice things for other people to receive forgiveness. I think a lot of people think that. I've heard people say, well, I'm just making up for lost time and hoping God will forgive me. God doesn't forgive you because you're trying to make up for lost time. It just doesn't happen that way. Forgiveness only comes by asking God to forgive you. And the Bible says, unless we're willing to forgive one another, God is not going to forgive us. He isn't. The Bible in the book of Ephesians 4:32 says to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God hath forgiven you. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But notice what he goes on to say. If you will not forgive others who have trespassed against you, God will not, or your heavenly Father, will not forgive you of your trespasses. And that brings me to the last point. How do you deal with problems? Well, first of all, work at solving your problems one at a time. How many of you have ever awakened one morning and you just felt like you were just overwhelmed with problems in life? I mean, honestly, you didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know where to begin. You know what? When I look at those people in Japan who have experienced that tsunami and I see all that devastation and wreckage in that country, I look at that and I think, man, where in the world do those people start to rebuild their lives? And I must be honest with you tonight. I don't know. That would be a horrible thing. But what about those of us who have experienced a spiritual wreckage in our life? Where do we start? You start by solving one problem at a time. Let's say, for instance, a person's been away from God. He hasn't been reading the Bible. He hasn't been giving to God. He hasn't been attending Bible class, and maybe it's kind of like someone said tonight, preaching to the choir. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We all need to be encouraged that we fall not into those kind of traps. What about the person who was once baptized and he's gone back into the world? Well, there's the beginning point, one problem at a time. Get back in the house of God, number one. And secondly, then start reading your Bible to find the solution to additional problems. Start praying to God and asking God to forgive you. Start making up and giving to God as you ought to. Don't rob Him, Malachi chapter 3. Start soul saving again and begin with your own. One problem at a time. Don't look back. And don't look to the future, but look at the present, where you are. And you will overcome your problems. The worst case scenario is to simply do nothing at all. You know, I couldn't help but think a minute ago, and Bob, it's really good to see you tonight, Bob Birchfield. You know, Bob suffered a stroke here about a month ago, I guess it was. Went out to the hospital Saturday night. Didn't know whether you're going to make it or not, brother. But I didn't either. Couldn't talk. Couldn't move. Had a serious problem. Prayed about it. Asked God to deliver him. Asked God to raise him up. God answered our prayers. He still does. Bob went through there. He could have said, well, I'm going to sit in the chair from now on. This is the end of it. And just not going to deal with this problem. Chose not to do that. Went to rehab. And he's up walking today. He's talking today. There may be some residual problems there, but I think in due time he'll master those also. We can look at life and say, hey, I have no problems, and do nothing about it. It is only till we acknowledge it, be committed to solving it, reaching out and start trying to do something about it, asking God to help us to overcome it. Now, you may have a problem tonight. Maybe a spiritual problem, maybe a physical problem. Maybe a financial problem. Maybe a relationship problem. Maybe a problem in your own mind. Self-induced. But the way to overcome it is doing something about it. And I hope tonight when we sing this song of encouragement that you'll be very quick to ask God to help you resolve that problem. Josh has selected that song of encouragement, and we're going to ask you to be turning to that number, and we're going to sing that song momentarily. And if you're not a Christian, then tonight is the night to step out and give your hand to me and your heart to God. And through the act of repentance, with a recognition of your sinful condition and your need of soul salvation, by being baptized, as we mentioned this morning, for the remission of sins, then many of your problems can be resolved. I know the greatest one will be, and that is your lost condition. And I hope you'll come to Jesus while we stand and while we sing.